Let's go to Psalms 119 tonight. Psalms 119, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Blessed are they undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for the privilege, Lord, just to gather in your house tonight. And Lord, we acknowledge that without you, we can do nothing. And God, I ask that you just bring clarity to our minds, Lord. God, help us to unload this message, Lord, the way you gave it to us, Father. I ask that the Holy Spirit would just take the truth of your word and touch the hearts of the saints tonight, Lord. And God, we just ask that your perfect will be done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, you're pointing at something. What have I not done? I don't see a mute. You've changed these since I was up here last time.
When it's on red, it's mute.
All right. We good? All right.
Psalms 119 is the record of a young man as he seeks to follow God. If you look at verse number 9, it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And so here we are. We're dealing with a young man who's walking with God. And really, all these is divided into eight verse sections. And really, how I looked at this when I went through it one time was, I looked at each section as a journal entry. Here's a young man, he's wanting to walk with God. And every entry, you're seeing the highs and lows of his spiritual walk. And you study through this, it's something that every believer can identify with. But what I see right here is a young man in verse number 8 that is determined that he's going to walk with God. Notice he says, "I will keep thy statutes." He doesn't say, "I'll try my best." He doesn't say, I'm just going to give it a shot and see what happens. I'm going to give it a good effort. But here's what he said. "I'm going to do it. I will keep thy statutes." He's determined to line his life up with the Word of God. And then notice what else he says in verse 8. "I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." He's saying he has a desire to this. He's determined he's going to do this. But here's what he acknowledges. He can't do it in himself. He knows he's got to have the Lord's help. And so if I could just say it this way, here's what this man's saying. With God's help, I'm going to line my life up with His Word, and I'm going to walk with God. That's what he's determined to do. That's what he's going to do. That's a tremendous statement for a young man to make. Imagine how you'd feel for your child, your grandchildren, to come to you one day and say, "You know what, I've just decided with the help of God, I'm going to walk with Him all the days of my life. I'm not going to try, I'm determined that I'm going with God." Brother Brian, I'd rather hear that from my children than anything. Amen. I don't care about their prosperity. I don't care about their popularity. I don't care about all that. Here's what I care about: to see my kids wholly falling after God. That's all that matters. And let me say this, the Bible does say, God did say, "Them that honor me, I will honor." If I can teach my children to wholly follow God and go after them, everything will take care of itself. God will take care of them. You want to give your children something that will help them succeed in life, you know what you give them? You get them close to God. You teach them to walk with God and teach them that sin and disobedience will destroy their fellowship with God. God, listen, let me just say this. Money fails. We live in a society, everybody wants their children to be prosperous. Money fails. If their hope is in money, you look at all these celebrities that commit suicide. There's no peace, there's no happiness. All the money, hey, when the doctor comes in and says, "We've got some bad news," all the money in the world means nothing. But if I can get my children instilling and get that desire in their heart that they want to walk with God and follow God, The same God that's taking care of me will take care of them no matter what comes in life. And so here's what I'm seeing. We're introduced to this young man and we see a determination to follow God. And here's the question I had when I read this. Where's the determination to follow God amongst our young people today? They're determined to succeed in the things of the world. You put worldly events and worldly things, they're determined, they give it their all. But what about spiritual things? What caused this young man to determine that he's going to walk with God? He don't care about the things, Lord. He cares about walking with God. I need my children. We need this next generation to see what this young man saw. And so what I want to look at just real quickly for a few minutes, I want to look at three things that this young man saw that caused him to determine that he's going to walk with God. And the first thing I want you to know, so look at verse 1 and through 3. Let me read it again. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do not iniquity. They walk in His ways. Here's the first thing this young man had. He had an example to follow. This young man saw a group of people, and here's how he described them: blessed. They're blessed. They're happy. They're happy. They're enjoying the favor of God. And here's what he witnessed about them. When he looked at these happy people, here's what he had to say about them when he took notice of them. Number one, they're undefiled, for they're walking in the law of the Lord. That word undefiled means they weren't corrupted. And the reason they weren't is because they had lined their lives up with the Word of God. Verse 2 tells us they keep His testimonies. Once again, here's what he's noticing about his example. They're keeping the Word of God. They seek Him with their whole heart. They don't have a divided heart. He's looking at this example before him, and here's what he's saying. Hey, they are wholeheartedly going after God. And when you seek God with your whole heart, you're going to find Him. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I've said this before. We deceive ourselves into thinking we're seeking after God and going to find Him when we are doing it with a divided heart. The psalmist is looking at this example that's set before him. They're seeking God with their whole heart. They do no iniquity. Now, we know that nobody's perfect. We all sin, but here's what the psalmist sees in them. There's no open sin in their life. As far as he's looking at their lives, they're doing everything the way they're supposed to. And then the Word of God's directing their steps. The psalmist sees a group of people that have lined their lives up with the Word of God. They're seeking Him with their whole heart, and they're happy. They're setting the example before this young man. Hey, this is where true happiness and peace is found. They're telling him, if you want to be happy, line your life up with the Word of God. Now, what example do we set for this next generation about happiness? Are we really teaching them that happiness comes from obeying the Lord? Are we teaching them that happiness comes from lining your life up with the Word of God?
Help us, preacher.
Are we teaching them that happiness and joy comes from seeking God with your whole heart? You know as well as I do, the main lesson that our young people are seeing today is that happiness is found in the world. Yeah. You want joy, you want happiness, it's in the world.
Yeah,
when we miss church, here's what we do. We're telling the next generation, what the world has is by far more important than what you're going to find at the house of God. We don't say it, but that's what we're teaching them. We disregard family devotions, and I understand it is a battle in my house like anybody else's. But when we miss family devotions, here's the message I'm sending my kids. What we had going on that night was more important than praying and reading the Word of God together. This young man had the right example. Have you ever just thought, wonder, what do our young people see in us? What makes us happy? They hear our conversation. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They know what has our heart. How many of us would be ashamed if we brought our children up here and right here said, tell us what makes mama happy? Tell us what makes Daddy happy. They could. Every one of them could. And not even that, just the young people in our church. They could just start all around the room, and there's a real good chance every household they could tell you what makes them happy.
Sure.
There's no dedication to the things of God because our young people have been taught that the world is what brings joy and happiness and not the church. Here's the example that's being set before this next generation. This sounds harsh to say, but here's what we're telling. Let's just get it over with where we can get back to what we love. They're being taught that the things of God, it's just an inconvenience to what we really want to do in life. Let's just get it over with and get it out of the way. Here's a young man, and here's what we're seeing. He is dedicated that he's going to walk with God. And here's the first thing I see. He had the right kind of examples. But then notice verse number 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. He has some enlightenment. He's aware that what God expects from his life. Notice this. It doesn't say, thou hast commanded them to keep thy precepts. He says, thou hast commanded us. The example that was set before him has taught him God expects the same thing from your life as he does from my life. There's no exceptions. Age does not justify disobedience.
Yeah, amen.
The example that was set before him was teaching him some godly convictions, if I could say it that way. The example set before him didn't tell him, hey, now we've got some godly convictions about dress, but you don't worry about it right now, you're too young.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got some standards about faithfulness, but don't worry about it. You're too young. You worry about that later. Here's what this young man's saying. Thou hast commanded us. Hey, what's expected out of the example set before me, that's what's expected out of me.
Amen.
How we teach our young people now is how they're going to walk. That's Bible. Train up a child in the way it should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. You teach him to treat the things of God loosely, he's going to treat the things of God loosely when he gets older. That is Scripture. You can bank on it. I didn't say that. That's what God said. You want to take God and have the things of the house of God for nothing? That's how your children are going to teach them. But if you'll teach them and reign, hey, that what God expects from me and the example, that's what he expects from you. You know what? When they get older, they'll walk with God. There's a lot of people today, and they think that the convictions that the example set before them has, that it really don't apply to me. It does. I understand there's different degrees in ages of maturity. There's different areas of spiritual growth. But we're all, at some point, we're all striving to be Christ-like. Our growth, I mean, we're all working toward the same point. At some point, we should all start coming in line on some things. God's standard of holiness is the same for the pastor as it is the pews. There's no degree. Here's what this young man sees. He says, hey, what the example's doing, that's what God expects from me. And notice this. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. That word diligently speaks of steady application and care. It speaks of consistency. The example that's set before this young man is teaching him there's no off season.
Amen.
Hey, you're a Christian every day of your life. You don't act godly at church and then live however you want to Monday through Friday. You don't act this way and then when you go on vacation you can act another. Hey, there diligently, steadfast, consistently. We're to live our life this way. God expects this from me every day of my life.
Amen.
His example is teaching him where happiness is at and how it's going to be obtained by consistently obeying the Word of God. But then notice verses 5 through 7. It says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Now he has an eagerness. He has desire to get right with God. Notice what these examples set before him did. Look at verse 6. Then shall I not be ashamed. These godly examples that were set before him, you know what they did? They done made him ashamed of how he's living his life. He recognized, hey, this is the right way. I'm not where I need to be. And he's ashamed. They showed him how a Christian should act, how a Christian should behave, and they showed him the right path to follow. And here's what he said. Man, that's not where I'm at. Hey, I'm ashamed. And then he says this in verse 7. He says, I will praise thee at the price when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. He's got a desire to learn about God. And here's what he's saying. The more he learns about God, the more he's going to praise him. And you know as well as I do, the more you learn about God, the more you realize he's worthy of praise and you want to praise him. But these examples that were set before him, they created a desire in him that made him want to walk with God. He wanted what they had. How many testimonies have you heard somebody talking about they wanted what those older saints had? I saw how brother so-and-so did or how sister so-and-so, and there was something inside me. I just wanted what they had. That's what's happening to this young man. He's looking at these examples. He's ashamed of how he's living his life. But he sees what they're doing and what's expected from his life. And here's what he's saying. Man, I want what they got. Amen. This young man, he's determined to follow God because he's got the right example. He's enlightened to what God expected of him. And he's got an eagerness or desire to be right with God. Young people, we can try to set the right example to follow, and I can tell you what God expects for your life, but the fact is you got to want it.
Amen.
Only you can control the desires of your heart.
Amen.
But it all starts with a godly example. Let me just illustrate. I want to just share where the burden of my heart is. Elijah, will you help me a minute? Come up here a minute. Here's Elijah, saved, young man, he's got his whole life, you know what he needs? He needs some examples to follow.
That's right.
Brady, come here. Here's Brady, loves the Lord, and just bear with me a minute, loves the Lord, he's seeking after God with his whole heart, he's happy. He doesn't begrudge the way he's having to live. He's happy. He's excited about it. He is walking with God. He's happy. And here's what Elijah's supposed to happen. He's supposed to set his eyes upon him. And you know what he says? I want what Brady's got. Hey, I'm going to purpose in my heart that I'm going to follow the example set before him. I'm going to go the way Brady's walking. That's how it should be. This is how it is. Ben, come here. Ben goes to the same church. He's faithful to the house of God. He is not going to let the Word of God change his life. Not going to do it.
Help us, preacher.
He's going to live his life the way he wants to. It doesn't matter. He's faithful. He says he loves the Lord. But he is not going to let the Word of God change his life. The example that he's setting before Elijah is you don't have to sell out. You don't have to fully obey God and still serve him. You can pick and choose. You can pick and choose what you want to do. So now, here's Elijah. He's got another choice to make, don't he?
That's good, preacher.
Josh, come here. Here's Josh. He's not faithful. I know you are. He's not faithful. He's give his heart to the world. He's let the world come in and take his heart. But you know what now? He's going to church. And here's the example he's trying to set. You can live any way you want to. You can serve God and still serve the world. Here's Elijah. What should have been one unified decision that, hey, right there is the example that said. Now here he is in church and you know what? He can pick how he won't serve God.
That's good.
He can pick. You know what? There's a whole generation right here. Here's Elijah. He represents the whole generation of young people at this church and churches everywhere. And instead of God's way of being one example to put a desire in his heart to, I want to walk with God, I want what they have, now he can look.
Amen.
Now, here's a young man. Does he have the spiritual discernment and the spiritual maturity to resist the temptations of the flesh? You know what he's going to choose every time? He's going to choose whichever one of them appeals to him the most. Y'all can sit down. Thank you. We're living in a day when in churches you can pick and choose how you want to serve God.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God's plan is for you to be dedicated, sold out, to follow the example that's set before Him. And instead of having a unified body of believers following one example, we got a divided body. Did you know it's always been a problem? Go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 verse 17. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Here we are, 2,000 years before, and you know what? The Apostle Paul's dealing with the same problem. He's talking about believers. And notice this, it doesn't, look at verse 18, it doesn't say, there are a few that walk, that are the enemies of the cross, but what's he say? There's many. You know what the popular thing to do was? To go opposite of what God wanted. It was the majority did not walk as they were supposed to. And here's what Paul says. They're enemies of the cross. And he's broken about it. He's weeping. And you know what? I look and you know what? I could weep many times. We're raising a generation that can choose how they want to walk. It breaks my heart.
Yes, sir.
You know why? You know what Mark 3:25 says? If a house be divided against itself, it cannot stand. You know what's going to happen? As long as there are multiple ways that you can walk, listen, we got the best church around. And we may get by for a generation or two, but ultimately, as long as there's multiple examples to follow, you know what's going to happen? God's presence is going to depart from this place. And we're going to be nothing. Just dead, going through the motions. Church, if the next generation, if our young people, if they're going to have a determination that they're going to follow God, you know where it's going to start? With us setting the right example before them.
Amen.
And it's up to us to set that example. Church, there's one example. There should be one example. There shouldn't be multiple.
Amen.
Hey, when they come in the house of God, they should see there's one way to walk. There's one way to walk with God. There's one way to find peace and joy and happiness.
Right.
Not several. See, if I still had them up here, here's what Ben and Josh were doing. They were really deceiving. Had Elijah chose to follow them, you know what they're doing? They're really deceiving him. There's not peace and joy and happiness. Because here's what the Bible says. Let me read Philippians 4:18 again. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, tell you, even weeping, that they're the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Hey, they may give the facade, the front, like, hey, we're happy, we're doing it the right way, but you know where the end is? It's destruction.
Amen.
And when this generation follows those kind of examples, where does it lead them? Down the path of destruction. Church, here's my message. This is the burden of my heart. What kind of example are we setting? Can the next generation, these young people, can they look at us and set us as a mark, say, hey, that's the right way. That's what I want. Or are they going to view us as enemies of the cross? I mean, that sounds harsh, but that's what Paul called them. Are parents going to tell their children, hey, you need to follow him? Hey, he's doing it right. He's setting a good example. Or are parents going to be telling their children, don't go down the path they're going down? Church, here's what we need. We need one unified godly example that this is the right way. This is God's way. This is the right way. And if you want peace and happiness, this is the way to follow. And young people, let me say this. If you're going to be determined to follow God, it's going to take determination on your part. It's not going to happen. You got a purpose and turn your heart. I want it. Hey, I want what those examples have. But church, here's the burden of my heart. It all starts with one example. If we want the next generation to sell out for God and be dedicated to God, that they're going to walk with Him no matter what, they got to see it in us. Are they seeing it? That's my message tonight. I ask y'all to stand. Just bow your heads for a minute. Here's all I want to ask you. What kind of example are you setting for this younger generation? While being played, if you need to pray, you come. Young people, maybe you're here and you're not dedicated to following God like you should be. Maybe you want to come up here and just ask God to help you just to sell out and purpose in your heart that you're going to walk with Him.